Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what you're doing. In our midst, and thank you for answered prayers, for the things that we know that we desire, and the things that we do not know that we desire or that we need. We thank you for supply of these. In Jesus' name, amen. This week we'll be dealing with something very important as a local church. That helps our structure. I think I need more time. Sometimes I say, Lord, the time is so little. Sunday service is 2 hours, very little. Meetings, teaching is still very little. Even other special meetings, I'm very sure it's going to be little. I think we just have to get camp meeting, lock ourselves there for 5 days. And even with that one, it's still going to be little. So we need more meetings. Yes, we need more meetings. I don't think I'll be able to exhaust whatever I have to teach you, because it keeps becoming a lot. So we're looking at pioneering a new work this week. Looking at pioneering a new work this week. Earlier on in the beginning of the year, we started looking at understanding the sales system, getting to just generally understand how sales systems run. Basically, we tried just looking around that and getting to understand how they run. Because like I said, we're going to be moving into the sales system. I knew it was going to be in this year, but I was waiting for the lead. So we're going to get into it again, start talking about it again. And then we'll trust God for a final decision. So pioneering a new work. Pioneering a new work is going to be our conversation for this week. Pioneering a new work. How many of us want to be used by God? You want to be used by God? Okay. So, if you're going to be used by God, then you'll have to listen to this teaching very important. I mean, very carefully. If you're going to be useful to God's plan, God's will, you would have to listen to this particular teaching carefully. And of course, we're dealing with pioneering a new work via small groups, or what I call sales. I'm going to take it in bits, then we can match them together. In our conversation early on, we said that a cell was a fundamental unit in the local church. So we have a fundamental unit of a local church where the activities and the vision of that local church is being ministered. So, if you went to primary 6, or you went to primary school, which I believe every one of us did, they gave you the definition of cells. The basic functional unit is what they said it is. So we are talking about, this time, the church in other basic functional units, broken down into smaller sects, and the activity is to make sure that the fundamental unit's vision of the local assembly is ministered in that space. So the cell system, or the cell groups, you know, is a way of organizing the church into small, consistent group of believers. We're talking about a small, consistent group of believers who are going to meet regularly, who are going to meet regularly for fellowship, for discipleship, and of course, evangelism, spiritual growth, and then pastoral care. You know, at this time, pastoral care is going to be handled from the one that handles the cell, from the small group. You are playing a segment of the role of the pastor's duty. So, the idea, like I said before, I've already taught on this in person, but then I feel we should pray about it. We pray about it and we talk about it. We pray about it and then we talk about it. We pray about it and we talk about it. So we said that it's essential that, you know, the large congregation is strengthened by smaller expressions of the church, you know, meeting throughout the week. So the larger congregations is strengthened by smaller groups, cells, or smaller expressions of the church meetings throughout the week. So these are people who will usually regularly meet. It could be a home, it could be a workplace, it could be a school, it could be any convenient location where people can meet. Right, so you have people meeting. In fact, one of the things I realized about a functional cell is that it grows. You know, the cell grows, and any cell that does not grow needs to be probably reconsidered or closed or shut down. Because smaller groups are supposed to grow. Cells grow, they replicate. You know, and that's wholesome, definitely. So if you were four in the cell, the goal is to grow. It shows that the group is healthy in its orientation. Of course, the people are learning God's word. And how is growth going to come? By evangelism. So the cell will have to make sure that evangelism is top, most priority. The teaching of God's word, sharing of fellowship, and then evangelism, which is very key and essential to having any cell become what God wants it to be. So the cell is the church in a smaller unit, of course, by a group of people. And normally, it's identified by a location. You know, location. You have someone from Agboba or Sominya or Pantine or Kaswa or what do you call it? Hacho, Madina. All of these are places. So these groups are going to be identified. Central University, Boys Hostel, Central University, Girls Hostel, Central University. Stalis Hostel, Central University, Pram Pram, Central University. Excel, Legon, Ivandi, Legon, TF, Legon, Under the Tree, Legon, Open Space, Legon, Field, Legon. Of course. UPSA, Block B, Room 725. Reading Room. Kiosk. Mr. Kwame's Kiosk. SL, O'Reilly Senior High School. Accra Senior High School. Panta in senior high school. Acel. So you see that these are going to be smaller groups, smaller units, smaller groups, smaller units, and it's going to be identified by location. So that it's going to be closer for people to get there. You don't want to have small group meetings or cell meetings, and then the people have to take car from here to there, pick another car from here to there before they can make the meeting. It's not going to be feasible enough to have them coming into the meetings more frequently. So you're going to have cells identified by locations. The locations are going to be the reasons why cells are going to have to start in those locations. Remember, God is speaking. See, me, I'm not going to lie to you. I know I prophesy. I prophesy. And I know that. But if there's something that I really am marveled at, is my teaching ministry. See, sometimes I look at how God connects the door. I don't intentionally do it. So I don't know why I should despise that. Yeah. If you look at this conversation, we started having conversations on cell meetings. Then we went to gatherings. We saw how gatherings are important to God, how God wants to see people gather in other places. You know, and that's like a central major theme. It's like God is speaking throughout the year. He's saying one thing throughout the year, dispersed in the teachings. So as we listen to the teachings, the teachings should direct us to do what the teachings are saying. It's like the teachings should say that this is what we are doing. This is what we are doing. This is what we're, because that is what we have been talking about and that is what we have been taught all this while. So the teachings So we have to take the teachings and say that God is speaking to us. He's talking to us as a local. Some of you say you love God. This is the time to prove it. He's speaking to us as a local church that this is what he wants us to do. This is what he wants us to do. If we say we're gathering anywhere and we're gathering everywhere, it doesn't just have to be a cliche. No, it's something God actually wants to do. Agboba, Ashoma, Pantine, Adenta, Spintex, Oyarifa, Hacho, Kaswa, Budumbura, Cape Coast, Takoradi, Ghana, Nigeria, West Africa, Africa. You see, that we are gathering anywhere and everywhere. It's not something that you just say, it's just not something we say. It's something we are supposed to actually do because that's what he wants us to do. You know, for some, maybe that's like a cliche, like, the glory of the Lord is, we will gather here, we will gather there. It sounds like, oh, is there something we do? No, it has to become real that we have gatherings everywhere. And how are we going to have gatherings everywhere? By paying attention to these groups. These cells. So, a cell is the church in a small unit. For a group of people identified by location. Is it only by location? Not necessarily. Sometimes a cell can come out of a career. Maybe we have people in the church who are pilots. they have to fly, and they put themselves together and they form a cell and say, we are going to meet on this day, because normally on this day we all are free. So you see that those who are there are going to be pilots, and then the leader there is going to be chief pilot, cell leader, but somebody who runs the cell. Sometimes it could come in as a common association. A cell can run by these variables. So as we pray into the pioneering of this, I believe, God, that we are going to give our best to it and make sure it works. Romans 16 verse 5, a biblical example of a cell. I'm just going to give you maybe two scriptures. Romans 16 verse 5. So this is Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he says that, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So there was a church, a small unit church in their house. Epanitus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:19. So we are looking at pioneering a work via a cell. But before I get into conversations on pioneering the church, I'm just trying to remind us or refresh our minds on what a cell is. I think we'll pause here and then we'll continue tomorrow. Romans, 1 Corinthians 16:19. Okay. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. With the church that is in their house. So this is, there is a main church, then there are smaller churches that have meetings in houses, meetings in canteens, meetings in kiosks, meetings in open spaces, meetings in classrooms, meetings in lecture halls, meetings in verandas, meetings in everywhere. So the church in Asia is the church in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Churches in houses, churches in different ministers. And then these are what we call cell groups. And don't forget, since the church is a small unit of the main unit, it must represent what the local church represents. Activities in that group must be the same. It must not change. It must not be different. So as we look into pioneering a new work, I'm going to show you how to pioneer a new work via the cell system. How to pioneer a new work via the cell system. As we pray concerning pioneering new works, we're going to be looking at how to pioneer a new work via the cell system. You know, the whole idea of having cell ministries is to ensure, you know, that everyone in the church or in the assembly is catered for. Of course, the catering there will mean physical needs, of course, spiritual needs, psychological needs. And that happens more effective in smaller groups. You know, if you have a group of 500 and you have a group of 12 or 12 to 15 people, there's going to be effective oversight over the 12 to 15, between 12 and 15, than the 500. And this is something that I remember quite recently, or I remember if I would say, there was a time where my mom didn't like the idea of taking one of my siblings to a particular school when she was much younger. And her problem was that there were so many in the crèche class. So if there are so many in the crèche class, it means that effective supervision is going to be compromised. That's why a lot of experienced mothers prefer new Montessoris or new schools. Because new schools, you know, when you take the children to crèche or you take them much earlier, even, you know, they have some schools, zero schools, they are catered for. Because they are just maybe 5 or 10 or 15 or 9. The school has just started. The child is going to be effectively catered for. But when they become a lot and there's not even breathing space for them, you see that the child is not very well catered for. And they come back always having a cold. I used to have my mom complain a lot on some of that. They come back always having a cold. Always their nostrils are blocked. Because the children are so many. One who brings it, it becomes another repeated cycle for everybody. Again. Right? When there are a lot, it's difficult to cater carefully for those. Anyway, those of you who are going to be mothers very soon, it's just pastoral advice. So pioneering a new work in the cell system is the same, right? It's the same. It is the same. We want to have everyone effectively catered for. Effectively catered for. We want to have everyone effectively taught God's word. Everyone effectively checked upon, everyone effectively loved, everyone effectively followed upon, everyone effectively, what do you call it? Taught, everyone effectively, everything. So, the cell groups, which are smaller groups within the local assemblies, make this very possible. We saw Romans 16 verse 5, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9 on how that there were churches in homes, which are smaller sects or smaller groups of a local assembly. So we're still looking at pioneering a work via cell. We've gotten to see in brief now and a couple of months back the cell. We also got to see how it was biblical or how it's biblical that the cell is not just something that is a church strategy. No, it's actually how the church should run. It's not church growth strategy. Like many people would teach that, oh, it's a church growth strategy. It's not a church growth strategy. The cell system or the cell ministry is how the church should run. It's biblically proven. You can read Acts of the Apostles, you read Paul's epistles, you see that the church is run in smaller groups. It's run in smaller groups. Of course, there's a synagogue meeting where they gather in the synagogue, you know, in much larger spaces. But when these church walls, heavy church walls, are closed and shut down, the church runs, it runs through smaller groups. So Christ family, we are not adapting some strategy. Like I said, no, we are doing something that is biblical and it's the way the church should be run. Right, so we're looking at how to pioneer a cell group, how to start one. When you say someone is a pioneer, it means the person is the one that commences the activity of a cell group. And I said a cell group is a subset of the group, of the church group. So it means that you teach the same thing, that the culture is the same, you know, you don't go having doing other things that will not be done in the main church system. It's just a compartment, a broken piece, you know, so that when we put it together, it becomes the whole church environment. How do you pioneer a cell? What are some of the things you should be doing, or what are the things you should do when you're going to start a excel. And I have to teach you this because I don't assume that you know how to. I'm going to teach everything. Everything is teachable, right? So I'm going to give you practical steps in how to pioneer a work. You're pioneering a work. You're pioneering a work. So there's a work that needs to be started, and God is going to be using you to start those works. I see you becoming cell champions and cell
men.
A lot of cells under you. It's not just one. You can have 5 cells under you. You can have 3 cells. You can have 15 cells. You can
Amen.
Have cells. You can have 2 cells. You can have a cell. But then, how are you going to start? How are you going to pioneer a work? I told her now we are all looking for venues. Whether homes, classrooms, open spaces, whatever. We are just looking for places where we can meet and where we can gather in person during the week. The goal is to teach God's word and to expand. You must not, the reason for the cell will not be only teaching. The cell has to grow. The cell has to grow. That cell, where the cell is, they have to, if they were 2, they should be looking at becoming 3 or 4 or 10 or 15. And then it breaks off again into another cell. And then it must keep growing. The cells must keep growing. So what are we going to do when we are going to start a cell? Number one, I think this is so important. So important. You can't despise it. The work must be birthed in prayer. That's the first one. The work must be birthed in prayer. The work must be birthed in prayer. Central University, you should have cells from these kind of teachings. We should start having cells at Abokobi, cells at Pantai. You know, the interesting thing is that we have actually not started going outside. Though. You know, sometimes I look at what God wants to do and I say, hey, this God, he's very wise. So, you see, we are just at UPSA, Legon and Central. That's where we are. Yes, but now he wants to take us to Hacho. He wants to take us to Abuba. He wants to take us. And it's easier preaching to people in your area if you have cells and getting them to church. It's much easier than only limiting yourself to Legon, limiting yourself to UPSC, only Legon and UPSC, only Legon and UPSC and Central University, Legon and UPSC. Now he's saying that your house, so those of you who say you're Legon, your house, your area, where you stay, where you live. The house next to you. Now it's not only Legon, UPSA. I'm going to open it up to the various environments. We should have sales coming, growing, running, Kaswa. Sales, wager, sales. This, we know this is a sale in wager. This is a sale in Kaswa. There's a sale here. There's a sale in Lagoa. There's a sale in Hacho. There's a sale in Ashoma. There's a sale here. There are sales here. There are sales here. There are 3 sales here. There are 5 sales here. There are 7 sales here. Here there are 10. Hey, here there are a lot of sales. The next house, there's a sale. The next house, there's a sale. But it's going to happen by prayer. So, number one, when you're going to start a sale, the work must be birthed in prayer. The work must be birthed in prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You cannot despise the place of prayer if you're going to start a cell and the cell is going to work. It's of utmost importance that everybody who is going to be given the opportunity to start a cell will start in prayer. As ministers, you put prayer first. It's an evident pattern found in the epistle. The Apostle Paul kept on saying, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us. Maybe I should show you a number of the scriptures like that. Pray for us, pray for us. It shows the importance of prayer in the minister's work. I told us that we cannot survive without prayer in the ministry. It's not possible. It's not possible. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul is always requesting for prayer. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Pray for us. Pray for us. Hebrews 13 verse 18. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Without praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us. The minister cannot do without prayer. Romans 15 verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Acts 6 verse 12. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There is an undisputable emphasis of prayer and the ministry of the word, which entails preaching and teaching. You cannot despise prayer if you are going to be an effective pioneer of a cell group. Of a cell group, you must pray. You have to pray. You must be determined to have a prayer life. You know, I read something interesting today about John Wesley. And it said that, you know, John Wesley was a very early morning riser. He would wake up by 4 a.m. in the morning. And it said that he kept a continuous schedule of prayer of 2 hours every single day. John Wesley. Every single day. And one of the things that interests me in the writing was that it was said that he saw prayer as his business rather than something that needed to be done because God says it has to be done. He saw it as something that was business for him. Like the way some of us have business and we always wake up and we post, which is not wrong. Feel free. Post all you want to post. It's like some get up, they have a shop and they've been going to that shop for the past 40 years of their lives. They are always at the shop. It means to them that responsibility of catering or selling becomes business. So he also said that prayer was his business. It's something that he had business with. So We ought to be very intentional. You cannot be a good cell leader who does not pray. Pioneering of a cell, it starts with prayer. You see, Pastor, what am I supposed to pray about? What is there to pray about? Don't I just go? Not so. I'm still here putting all of these requirements together. I mean, putting the structure in so that it becomes more formal. Maybe in writings or in materials or books. But then I would advise at least 3 months. 2 to 3 months. 2 to 3 months. If you have not prayed 1 month. Yes. Before you now say, I'm going to start. So if you're going to start a cell, Pastor says you're going to start a cell in Abuba. One month. You should be praying into it. Minimally, but normally 2 to 3 months, you are on it. If you have not prayed 1 month, if you are able to do an hour every single day, not an hour praying for other things and you just thank God for the cell, an hour praying into the cell that you are going to start. You pray that more souls are going to be hearing your voice as you preach and teach. More people are going to be responding to cell meetings. They're going to show up. What you need in venues, spaces, places, there's a release. You're praying into the work. I don't like to sound spooky, but it took me 1 year to pray before I started church work. 1 full year. I don't even want to tell you how long I prayed every day. 1 year, I was on it. So, the work must be typically birthed in prayer. It has to be something that you birth in prayer. You birth in prayer. A minister who does not pray, the struggles are going to be too much. You pray concerning the people you are going to preach. You pray concerning the venue. You pray concerning the hearts that are going to be opened. You pray concerning venues, spaces. You pray concerning resistances that will stop people from coming in into the cell. Right? You pray that the cell will grow healthily. You're just praying. That's all you are doing. You are just praying. You know, sometimes even when you are praying, and those of you who are afraid of dry apparent prayers, dry unresponsive prayers, dry prayers that don't look like even go past the root, I came to encourage you. See, don't let the devil deceive you, and don't let your feelings make you feel like your prayer is not doing anything. I'm telling you, don't be moved by, I don't feel the prayer. I don't know what I'm praying about. It's like, I don't know. Hey, do you see that every time Paul gives an instruction of praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, there's not so much emphasis on how you feel when you pray in the Holy Ghost. It just said, pray in tongues. That's all. And praying tongues, that's what you have to do. So I have to feel. Feelings are good. When they come, enjoy them. When they are there, enjoy them. But if they are not there, still stick to what you have been given. Just be praying. Be praying. I'm telling you. So there are people who are disappointed even when they go to pray. Like they are done praying, but then they are disappointed. Why? Say, I didn't feel the prayer. Why didn't you feel the prayer? Or why are you using feelings as means to ascertain whether you prayed or not? Some are waiting for goosebumps. Goosebumps are good. When they come, enjoy them. God spoke to me about this some time ago, long time. You know, I was praying one day. I don't know if I should share this with you, but I was praying one day. And you know, I felt a rush. You know that rushy feeling when you are praying very intensively. And it's like you are praying. You feel that rushy feeling. Hey, I said, wow, there must be God here. So I continued and I said, wow, that's enjoyable. So I enjoyed it. So I was done praying. You see, I was done praying. Let me show you how I got saved from feelings. And I was done praying. So I said, let me just watch something. So I was watching something. So while I was watching something, I was totally in the flesh. You know, when you watch maybe even America's Next Top Model or America's Got Talent, you see someone can sing for you, the goosebump you get. The person is not singing gospel song. The person is just manifesting a gift that is beautiful. So I said that this is the same thing I feel when I'm praying. Still, even maybe more something, I don't know. Goosebumps. I said, no, these goosebumps, we have to watch these goosebumps. Because if we are praying, have goosebumps, you are watching America's Next Door. It means goosebumps is something that can happen as a result of a response. But it may not be the reason why, whether your prayers are being answered or your prayers are being powerful. I was telling someone that most of the powerful prayers that I've seen in my ministry, they came when I didn't feel anything. I can promise you. I was even laying hands. I didn't even think it would work. And the person comes and says, it has worked. I said, hey. It has worked. But I didn't feel anything. So he said, you don't feel anything. So those of you who are afraid of, in quotes, prayers that are not goosebumping, you are missing out, and you are missing out on a very major part of your prayer life. You must pray regardless. So cell leaders, you're going to start a cell, going to pioneer a cell, there must be that desire, that consistent prayer. You know, you are keeping at it. You are on it. You are praying at least an hour specifically. It's given to it. You dedicate some time to it and you pray into it. You pray that more are going to come in. You pray that venues are given. You pray that as you go, the people are responding. Their hearts are open. The cell is growing. It does well. It increases. It multiplies. More cells are coming out of that particular cell. So you're just praying. You are just praying. Prayer is what makes the work work. Yeah. Prayer is what makes the work work. You know, there was somebody who was trying to convince someone from the ministry. You know. And the person did all that the person would have done. The person said, hey. And that's why they say we are a cult. So they are a cult. Because, you see, they say that, why is it that the people are so giving? It's like when you try to even say something bad, they don't even listen to what you are saying. Like they must have done something to the people. It's not doing something to the people. People are well taught. This is well taught. And I like the way Bishop Dark puts it. It's a cult. A cult is even lesser. Because a cult, you can leave a cult. It's easier. It's very easy to leave a cult. If you just make up your mind that you will leave, you get somebody who will pray for you as a pastor, you will leave the cult. But he says it's not easy to leave a family. Yeah, it's not easy to leave a family. even if you say that you are not leaving, but you are leaving, but it's not easy to leave a family. It's not easy. A family that God put you in. It's not easy to leave a family. It's far more difficult. You say you don't belong, but when we put you together and we run a DNA test, you say you don't have anything to say. You say you don't want to look like your father. But then when somebody sees you in town, they say, it reminds me of Mr. I say, hey, don't mention his name. Don't mention his name. Don't mention his name here. But it reminds, it's not so easy. It's not so easy. It's not that easy. You can change your name, but if something happens, you see that they will say, it still belongs to this. It's not that easy to leave. You can leave, but it's not that easy. It's very difficult. Even when you are no more, you see that the family will be starting to be showing up. Somewhere. It's not that easy. Anybody who leaves the ministry for any reason, the person was not my child. I'm telling you, it's not my child. Yeah. My child, when you leave, I'll just be looking at you like, you come back. You come, if God gave you to me, you come back, you go, see, you go, you walk. You come back again. You can't go in. So anybody who successfully leaves, they were not in the first place. And it doesn't move me in any way. It doesn't move me. They were not. Then I look at them, you go. It's that they've come back again. It may take 5 years. It may take 2 years. It may take what. But you see that you go, you come back. I give birth to you. So real daughters and real sons, they don't go. They don't have anywhere to go. They don't go anywhere. So be encouraged. When you lose a disciple, it's not your disciple. Someone who is your disciple, we will not move. Me, I'm not afraid of people leaving and all of that. It's not me. I don't fear those things. Yeah, me, I don't fear those things. I'm not afraid people leaving. Like you say, you are leaving. So you are leaving and so what? I'm not afraid of leaving. I'm not afraid of anybody leaving. I'm not trying to keep anybody. I'm not trying to whatever. If you feel like you are here, be here. If you are not here, you don't have anywhere to go. It's because I've prayed. I've trusted God. I've said that anybody who will be there will be there. Everybody who will leave will leave. It's not that difficult. Me, I don't force people also to stay. If you don't know and you tell me that you are leaving, you'll be shocked. That day now, say, pack your things. That 20, it shouldn't be past 24 hours. Don't stay another day and take another person's place. Let me find somebody else in 24 hours. Not that day we are loggerheads, so no, it's just that we are changing quickly. It's a prayed work. We depend on God. Yes. Nobody is going to be responsible. We just depend on God. So your groups are going to be strong. I think I've moved out of my teaching, but I'm coming back. But then your groups are going to be strong if you can give yourself to prayer. So I'm closing on this. I just thought to start with, the work must be birthed in prayer. Tomorrow we'll continue with something else and then some other thing else. But it has to be birthed in prayer. How many of us are excited about the start of cell groups? It's so important. So important. Like I said, we started from the beginning of the year, but then we are getting into it now. Yes. So now the church is going to be running on cells. It's going to be running on cell groups. There is not anything else that we're going to be doing. It's the same thing. Discipleship groups, cell, is the same thing. It's the same. It's not anything different that you have not done before. It's the same thing. So I believe God that we are going to be given to what He's doing with us as a local assembly. And I trust very much that we are in the center of His will. We are in the middle of it. As a local assembly, we are in the middle of it. And we're going to give ourselves to what God is doing in our midst. We're going to give ourselves to it. We're going to pour in ourselves to it, pour our hearts into it, give our best into it. So you're going to take some time praying. And you're going to be praying into the cell, praying that God sends people, praying that venues are made available, and praying the will of God for the cell in that locality or in that space. So number two, we're moving on to our second practical activity. You know, prayer goes with an activity of fasting. So I'm just going to add that today and then add another, and then we'll continue from there. So you're going to fast as well. You know, many of the times, not so many people think fasting is important. A few people think fasting is important. So they say, oh, we can just do without it. No, if Jesus participated in fast, then we should. In Exodus 34 verse 28, you find Moses fasting. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 9, I mean, while he was about to receive the tablets of stone, he was in a fast. And Bible says that he did not eat bread nor drink water for 40 days and 40 nights. He took the initiative to abstain from food and water on Mount Sinai. You know, so it's an unarguable activity that is responsible. You know, many times when people want to say, I really want to serve the Lord in the ministry, and then you call a prayer and a fast and say, oh, mine is not that. I wonder, how is it going to work? You know, how is it going to work? So he is fasting. Moses, who sets the tone, you know, is fasting. Elijah, of course, is also given to fast. In 1 Kings 19 verse 8, Elijah went 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Horeb. You know, so before, even Jesus in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, you know, before he started his ministry, he left Jordan praying and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did not eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was afterward and hungered. So Jesus himself, in the commencement of his ministry, is given to the activity of fasting coupled with prayer. You know, the work you're going to start is a spiritual activity. So there has to be spiritual activities that birth that activity. You know, there has to be spiritual activities that birth that activity. You don't just have to go. The moment you just go, you see that the resistances sometimes are even more. You know, so it could be much smoother if you give yourself to it. At least you pray about it. 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 So you find Moses doing the same. Elijah is doing the same. Jesus is doing the same. You also find Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9 verses 11. He says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus, for he, behold, he prayeth. We know from Acts 13 verse 2 also how that, I mean, while he was there, he had not eaten for 3 days and three nights. As a new convert, he had already started fasting. It took Ananias going to lay hands on him, having his sight restored, but then he was in a fast. So Paul, we can say that into the commencement of his ministry is caught up in an activity of fasting and prayer. In Acts 13 verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas." As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. See, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. So before they set out to actually start the ministry, they were involved in some activity of fasting and prayer. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they were fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So there's an important activity of fasting and prayer. It's so important. You cannot despise it. See, you cannot despise it. You cannot overlook this activity of fasting. You need to begin to pay attention to it. So, in pioneering a work via cell, number one, you're going to pray. Number two, you're going to fast, or prayer coupled with fasting. But then I try to lay some emphasis on both, as both are very important. So what do I do, Pastor? Now I have prayed. I am now full of the Holy Ghost. You know, the anointing is heightened. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. He said that whenever he wanted to get the Spirit of God on a greater measure on him, he took some time off to fast and to pray, and he got it just a little bit more on him. So we want to do the same. We want to be effective in the work that's committed to our hands. So we're going to give ourselves to fasting, praying. Now, when we give ourselves to fasting and prayer, what is the next thing to do? What are we supposed to do next? Are we just praying? Of course, that's the prayer we prayed about today. You're going to pay attention to God's leading on your heart. Now, sometimes the pastor sends out the people to start a cell in some particular areas because maybe the pastor has a leading on, you know, having cell groups in those areas. But then there are some other times where you have that impression on your heart, you know. So you're going to pay attention to God's leading. You pay attention to the leading of the Spirit. Pay attention to the leading of God's Spirit on where these have to start. And that means you're going to identify your target area. You're going to decide the area, the street, the school, the workplace, the space, the field, the hostel, the area, the house. Right, you decide that okay, this is where I'm being led. But that's when you would have prayed and fasted, because when you don't pray and fast, then you just go anywhere. You know, I don't believe so much in just not doing anything without prayer. So we have prayed now, we have fasted now, we have trusted God now. We're going to pay attention to leading on where. In where, we're going to identify the target area, the target people. We're going to decide the area, decide the street, decide the school. You know, and like I said, some cells can be in areas, some cells can be in certain streets, some cells can be in certain schools, university schools, senior high schools, sometimes even junior high schools. You know, I was speaking to a dear man of God, and he was telling me how that there were certain young people who were given to the work of the ministry, young people. He called them, in Nigeria, you know, it's a fortress camp. I was telling me how that these are small boys who are running cells. You know, they are running meetings. And I was like, oh, that's a blessing, you know. So you're going to decide the area. Anybody listening to you, you're not too young. You're not too old to serve the Lord. Everybody can serve the Lord. Right, so decide the area. If it's in your house, we know that there's a cell in your house. If it's a street, we know there's a cell in the street here. If there's a school, we know there's a cell in the school here. We know there's a workplace here. You know there's a network you're reaching. There's a group of people. You're going to identify the target. Like I said, you can have two cells. You can have three cells. You can have four cells. Depending on, you know, the people, the area, the availability of the people that you are leading. So we're going for it anyway. Anyhow, right? Decide the area. You submit it to pastor. If pastor agrees on it, that's fine. Sometimes pastor instructs the area to go. Because sometimes there are leadings like that. And God leads people like that. I remember how that we had quite a number of responses from Volta Hall. I was praying one afternoon. And I saw something very peculiar at Volta Hall. So I picked, I don't know if it was a text message quite recently, call, and I said, Mahelina, I'm moving you to Volta Hall now. Right? So I sent her to Volta Hall, and I was quite amazed at the response because she moved almost immediately. And from there, the work started to take shape at Volta Hall. So there are things that will come by leadings like this. Leadings like this. That's why when you are not fast, the realm of the spirit is a fast-paced environment. It's very fast. Things happen there very fast. You know, even when you are seeing very fast. You are seeing very fast. Many of the things that I see or many of the things people see and that you see, they happen very fast. You see, Pastor, it's just a flash. Because that's how it is. It's very fast-paced. It's, you need to be attentive to a certain, to pick up something. If not, you are lost. Sometimes the vision is playing right before your eyes. And it's very fast. The vision is very, it's one thing, pew, 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 like that. In 1 second, a whole information has been revealed to you. So when you are not too fast, you're not quick to see. See, a lot of things keep, you know, piling up. And that means that there's going to be that delay. So identify your target people. Pray about it. That's why you are praying and fasting, right? Then what do? You are aiming for just one or two people to start. You don't need 10 people to start. One person plus yourself, two people plus yourself is already a potent cell. Yeah. And normally cell groups, they grow from a committed core. It grows from a committed core. The moment you find out that the core is committed, you see the cell group beginning to grow under the leadership of the leader of the cell. A committed core, you see that it starts to grow. It starts to grow. Sometimes it grows almost immediately. Almost immediately. In 2 weeks, you have the cell already supposed to break into another cell because the numbers increase suddenly. Sometimes you have two families suddenly responding to the gospel. And then you have suddenly your cell is more than 15 people, 20 people, 25 people. Right? So you're going to target your audience, decide the school, workplace, wherever space. You are getting one or two. It's enough. Then you make the decision on choosing a suitable meeting place. It can be your home, it can be an apartment, it can be an office, classroom, lecture hall, any convenient location. Of course, it should be accessible to your cell members because if you have a cell at Pram Pram, but then your members are at Hacho, you see, it, they'll come one day, they won't come again. Because from Hacho to Pram Pram is a distance. So normally what happens is that, of course, if they come into the church, new people come into the church, we can get to know which areas they are, then we can send them there. Because they say, oh, there's a cell here. So we can direct you to the cell so you can have fellowship. But then if, you know, you have a soul at Hacho and then you are also at Pram Pram, or you have a soul at Kaswa, but you are at Legon. You see, your cell may not be very, your cell person, the person in your cell may not be able to make it. And over time, they get tired and they will not be able to join in for the meetings. So the goal is to make it convenient, accessible, it's safe, it's at a reasonable place, you know. Yeah, it's a reasonable place. It doesn't have to be expensive. No, you just keep the environment simple. It's neat, just a simple place. And then you are there under the summer hats under what that's where we meet. So it's a cell group, right? So you're going to be putting into effect all of these things that happen. Then a very key and important thing to run in a cell is to make sure you have a fixed day and a fixed time. One of the signs a cell is not going to work is when the days are always moved. We're meeting Tuesday. Oh, no, today is Wednesday. Yes, we had to change it to another Thursday because of the, so every week you have different days of the cell. It means that the cell is not going to work. Maricho, you must have start thinking of how, Maricho, where do you stay? Yeah, she's calling in. My Rachel, where do you stay? Oh, your network is not.
Good evening, Pastor.
Hi, good evening. Where do you stay?
Pastor, please, I live at Ablekuma.
So, my Rachel, for instance, lives at Ablekuma. You should be thinking of how to start a small group or a cell group in Ablekuma. Don't you think that is going to be very powerful?
Yes, please, Pastor.
It will work. Secondary school, your house, your whatever. It's going to work. Okay, thank you. So you're going to set a fixed day, set a fixed time. Not Monday. We change to Wednesday. We change to Tuesday. We change to Friday. Now is Sunday. We said we've changed it to Monday. We change to Tuesday. We change to Wednesday. One cell, you have 7 days of meeting. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So you keep the same day, the same time. Right? And obviously, we are using the law of consistency here. It helps people to build that meeting into their routine. So say, hey, we have a cell meeting today. It means the people now start becoming aware of having that. So you want to avoid constantly changing people's schedules. Changing, and you know, sometimes even the leader, you are the one changing the schedule. You are the one not available. Say, we are meeting on Monday, the people have gathered. Then you say, oh, sorry, 30 minutes to the time. You have changed your mind. No, you don't change your mind like that. I'm teaching on pioneering a new work via cell. You don't change your mind like that. So after you have had all these things, you have prayed, you have fasted, you have decided, you have gotten your space, you have gotten one person, two person, you have gone to start the cell, you keep up with it very consistently is going to be, you know, the emphasis. You're going to keep up on it consistently. You set a fixed day, set a fixed time, you are on it. You're teaching joyfully. You're helping the people. Okay, we have not got into teaching yet. You are started consistently. There's a day, there's a time. Right, there's a day, there's a time. Now, it is very important, just take this also, you have to make sure you keep your information, the names of the people that are in your cell, their phone numbers, their locations, their attendance. You have to keep all of these things, right? You have to keep all of these things. It's very, 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 very important. If not, sometimes we even forget that people belong to ourselves. We've forgotten them. The people that Jesus sent to us, we have forgotten those people. You're supposed to be calling them, sending them personal messages, visiting them. You know, the whole idea of us moving or transitioning into sales is because I now want you to start doing the ministry. The ministry is not flyer. Flyer is great. I told you, we use everything. We use everything supplementary. The real ministry entails movements. It entails visiting. It entails you being there yourself. I mean, Jesus is our example, so we are going to be there. It's not online. Online is great. Like I said, online is, we don't have a problem with online. But we are doing the minute. It's like now we are going to start the work. The work has not started. The work, we're just one scratching one or two. Now is the time the work is going to start. Say, he's moving. Uh-huh. He's a cell leader here. Uh-huh. He's moving. That's the work. 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 A structure is going to be giving us how, you know, the meeting structure should go. I'm going to send in, you know, a simple structure on how your meeting should be structured when you are having a cell meeting. All right, so let's take a very practical example. So Luis had a cell meeting, I think Jemima also had a cell meeting. Let's just take a practical instance. Say, Luis, call in, please. Is there Luis on the line? Okay. If he's not here, okay, he's here. So Luis, is there a good time to talk? Imagine my calling. Anybody else who had a cell meeting this week? You've already had your cell meeting this week. Let me see by hand. So let's see. How did it go? What was your experience? How did you get to your place? Where are you now? We are interested. I saw your video. You sent me your video. I was very excited. Said you were gathering everywhere. I was excited about that. So tell us, how did your meeting go? What did it entail? How did you get the place? Right. Talk to me.
Good evening. Brother, please, thank you very much for the opportunity to share my experience. Brother, please, you gave the instruction again on Saturday. Suggestion told me that you had reiterated that we should transition again into in-person meetings. So Proverb, please, when he told me that, immediately I told him that he should start getting a place for us. Monday, I was supposed to be off, but they put me on shift. But I said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but we are going to go by what Proverb has said. We are going to have the meeah on Monday. So I told them to stand by. I'll ask for permission from you whether we could start immediately on Monday. And Proverb, please, you gave us the opportunity to do so. So I told Sir Jason to go and get a place for us. And fortunately, he went and got us a very good place on Legon campus. And Proverb, please, by your directions and how things should run, Proverb, please, when we gathered, it was a wonderful thing. And Proverb, we learned from the manual that you prescribed for us. We learned on what I have in Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And Proverb, it was a blessing. It was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to the disciples who had gathered. And Proverb, please, I believe that as God has led you into this direction, Proverb, we are going to see the much more that we've been praying for. And Proverb, please, I just love it. Just reignited the fire in me, because in a long while I met some of them in person. And Proverb, please, I was really, really blessed. And Proverb, please, so were they as well. Thank you very much, beautiful, Professor, for the opportunity, Proverb.
Beautiful.
I don't take it lightly at all.
So we're going to keep at it. He had his cell meeting right there. Yes, Majimaima, can you call in? Anybody else that had a cell meeting? I said, we are moving. We are transitioning from the online to real in-person meetings. Okay. So, so I'm going to give out the structure of how things are going to go. And then, we're going to be taking it up from there. Like I said, we're going to transition. The transitioning is going to be gradual, 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 till everybody belongs to a cell. That's the whole reason for having this. We want to have everybody in a cell, everybody that belongs to a place where they are taught, they are followed up on, they are cared for, they are loved, they are prayed for. And this is like very key and very essential. I want us to be open. I want us to be open to what is going on. You know, anytime God tells us that there is more, or He set us for more, there's a structure of how to execute it. You see, and that's the structure on how to execute. Now, I've always known there's that multiplicity and grace that comes with starting out small groups. But then I was waiting for how. Did he tell me to? Because he told, I mean, Dr. Yonggi Cho is the one that starts out cell ministry. He starts out the cell meetings. And then we have other churches that, you know, gleaned up from there, Redeemed, Christ Embassy, and many other ministries, you know, other ministries run on this. So I was not going to assume that because other ministries are doing it, I was going to do it, right? I was going to wait for the Lord to tell me, I want you doing this, because it's his church. If he's not told me to do it, what am I going to do? I'm just going to do it the way I know to do it. So he gives the go ahead. We start the conversations from the year. We get into the year, and now we have another more like instruction that comes in. So we are beginning to work on that. So I want to encourage us. The much more, this is how, you see, because like I said, we are only at Legon Central University and UPSA. Those are the four main three main categorized places that we go. But the cell groups begin to open up the work. It opens up the work. So people in your area, people in your environment, people in your streets across where you live, they can all now begin to be part, and they can all now begin to come to church. So it's actually how increase comes, because then we can have cells from Kaswa, cells from Wager, all of these places. But then the work is only centralized to these campuses. And that's why I'm saying that we have to take it very seriously. See, we have to take it very seriously. There are people, next door neighbors, friends, families that you have no business with. You get up and you come to Legon, but you don't preach to them. You get up and you come to Legon, but you don't preach to them. Now we are starting out sales in all of these places and trusting God to have him do what he wants to do. So this is how it's going to be executed. And I want us to be open to it as a ministry. There are also certain pitfalls of the cell ministry. I will talk about them, or some difficulties. Because some of the people will go and be doing their own things. These loyal people who go and do their own things that pastor has not told them to do. They are collecting things and doing things. I will discuss that too. It also happens. You are starting your own ministry. You are not starting your own ministry. You are starting a ministry. You are starting a cell ministry under the ministry. Let me not go here. And I trust that we are going to be open to it. Let's be open to it. Let's see it as God said, do this now as a ministry. And let's give it our all. And I believe strongly we are right on track and we are in the right direction.